Welcome to the Fantasy Wargaming Podcast. We're your hosts,
Tony
and Paul. And we're joined this evening by two great guys. We got Tanker. Say hello.
Hey, all.
And we got Mr. Ed Murdoch. How you keeping, mate? You well?
Yeah, not bad.
Watch you guys.
Mate. Thanks for coming on this evening. We thought we'd talk about Warriors. Bit of a focus again on an army book. This one's been, well, fixed for, I think, 2 years? Maybe three now. Thinking on it, it's been for a while anyway. I think it was one of the first books that was established, so we thought we'd delve into it, look at the strengths of the book this show, and then there's going to be a couple of other shows focusing on how to beat the blighters, and then a bit about the background that you've all not bothered to read, but yeah, we thought we'd educate you on that one. So who better to have on the show than Mr. Warriors himself, Mr. Tanker? How long have you been playing Warriors for, Adam?
Probably 2018, I think, was the first year I picked up for ETC.
And then you've given up on them now, and that's the point we get you. Do you think you'll pick them up again, this tournament year, next tournament year, or are you resting them for a while?
I ideally would like to rest them for a while, but I still think they're worth taking, definitely.
Is that because you think they've been knocked down a peg, or is it just because you've played them to death and you're kind of fed up with the same list? And
is it because Sylvan are broken?
All of the above. Yeah, I've played them to death. If I go back to them this year, it'll be MSUE single model version. I can't do wretched ones anymore.
Fair enough. So I think on this particular one, a bit like the Demon book, actually, Tony and I have got a bit more experience of this, haven't we, mate? You've been playing around with Warriors for a while, haven't you?
Yeah, I think I've lost a lot of games in most of the major, Warriors setups, be it the MSU big stuff or, losing with block some there.
I think they've kind of, you started off with kind of Empire-ish, as it were, and then migrated to Warriors for a while, didn't you? So you've been playing them ever since the inception of Ninth, at the very least.
Yes, I was painting them up about a year before we started playing Ninth, so I had a fully playable army.
Back with the old three-up Wartave BSB.
Exactly, and then...
the filth, back in the day.
As I carried on with them, I then painted, I think, all the units. I think I've got everything. I can't think of anything in the list I haven't got. There is, isn't there? Hang on. There is one choice I haven't got, which is Forsworn. And I've got them in a box ready. I've just got to build them and paint them.
Yeah, I bought them for you years ago.
Yeah, I bought you loads of stuff for your birthday over the years. Let's not look in the cupboard next.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. A couple of shame stays closed for a bit. Yeah. So, let's refocus back onto the show then. So, Ed, what in your opinion makes the Warriors a strong... What do you think are the Warriors' strengths? When the army book was being created, the background team, as it were, what were the focuses on making the Warriors so unique and strong, etc.?
So I guess from my point of view, I mean, there are lots of things mechanically that Warriors do well, between their rules and the options that they have. So this isn't going to, I'm not kind of listing off all of the strengths, but... For me, the main one that I think is a strength of the book and is very fitting with the background, it's the individual strength of a single warrior. It's the elite stats, it's the equipment that they bring, the favor upgrades that they bring. So whether it is a single warrior, whether it's a warrior knight or a chosen, they start at a level which is more or less the highest level that's available to infantry within the game, and so everyone else is kind of playing catch up. When they fight against a warrior unit, they need some advantage to beat a warrior unit, be it bigger numbers, combo charges, spell buffs, and warriors come in with this assumption, and generally it does work, that if you go in one-to-one, you're going to more often than not win that combat, and that kind of comes from and feeds into the background of the book. So I always liked that part of it.
Good answer. Wouldn't disagree with any of that. What about yourself, Tanker? What do you think the strengths are within the book? Just kind of overview brush to start with, and then we'll start drilling down.
So I think, like Ed said, one-on-one combats are definitely one of the advantages of the book. I think you can build a warrior army two or three main ways. but they have the opportunity to outmaneuver and outfight a lot of armies out there.
What about yourself, Tony? What do you think,
I'd kind of agree with what Ed was getting at, although I'd focus really on just being robust. I mean, sometimes they just dig in and the enemy bounce off them. Me and Matt Perris used to talk about it, when we played Empire quite a lot, EOS, everything's going great with Empire, then something goes wrong and suddenly half the table clears and it empties and, it all starts collapsing. Whereas with a Warriors army, you might suddenly lose a unit in the front, but the rest of it quite often just digs in and they've got to clear all of it. So they've just got that, like, going back to what Ed was saying, yeah, they're elite troops, but then they just keep going. And they've got some of those, rules in there that means they've got the consistency, be it re-rolling, discipline, the break tests, and just being good.
Yeah, I think from my side, what I really found playing with the Warriors, the biggest strengths were the reasonably high resilience. I mean, resilience 4, okay, it's not great, but basically everything in the book's resilience 4 for the most part.
Well, you say it's not great, but I mean, for, core troops.
Standard infantry, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Res 4 is strong. And then having a good armor save as well means...
What else can beat Res 4?
There's quite a bit of Res 4 out there. You've got green skins, you've got lizards, you've got beasts. There's quite a bit of Res 4. But what Warriors do on top of that is, like you mentioned earlier with the discipline, the fact they're fearless, so they don't run away from panic and that kind of thing.
I mean, it's Res 4 with plate armor.
And decent armor. Yeah, what I found was is generally you're always in a situation where you've got an armor save. And if your opponent's allowing you to roll armor saves, there's a chance, a bit like demons, where you spike on the Aegis saves. I've had times where I just haven't lost Warriors. They're just literally just soak up damage and dish it out as well. They've got decent offensive stats. But what you're saying, Ed, their stats are all kind of hyper on top of what you would find an average trooper to have. So they're hard to put down and they also punch you hard in the face.
I mean, even Barbarians are strength 4 and offensive 4.
Yeah.
With the option of great weapons and, and they're the lesser troops and they're not, a million miles. Yeah, they're all just punchy. But then you throw in as well, you've got having the options of the favours is always fun for those core troops. So it lets you, whether you're trying to tank it with, the mark of sloth or lightning reflexes with Wrath, well, especially since they redid the Wrath favour, so you haven't got that +1 to hit. Although it's still for the first round, isn't it?
It's not +1 to be hit, though, anymore, is it?
I think it's it's not reflexes. +1 to be hit, it's just lightning reflexes in the first round. So. Yeah.
Then you lost the agility pip, though, which was quite big.
No, it's literally just lightning reflexes.
Yeah. What about the mobility, Tanker? How have you found the mobility of the list?
So that mainly comes, in my opinion, from... Well, you can go Helm if you want to. I think it's cool. It can be really good. I think it can lead to a lot of standoffish non-games, though. But single model-wise, they've got some of the best mobility in the game. Feldrek Elders, Feldrek Ancestors, Chosen Lords, if they want to go for the flying or the horse version. Even the chariots, obviously they're not the quickest thing in the world, but single models, very maneuverable, can go where they want. And for the base sizes that some of the single models have, the amount of damage they put out is quite frightening for a lot of armies.
Yeah, the Feldreks have lost a bit of love recently, haven't they? You see a lot more Chosen. 18 months ago, is a lot more Feldreks, but...
Yeah, I think the price increases were needed, to be honest. You saw quite a few Ancestors at ETC dotted about here and there. Fair few Elders still. I think they're at a reasonable point now, the Elders. I don't think they're auto-includes, but they're still definitely worth taking in the right builds.
What's your favourite monster then, guys? Come on. You've got some good options, plus the Giant. I mean, the Giant's probably the weakest of the
big... I wouldn't say that.
Well, I mean, I quite like the War Spear on
I had My favorite is still the Ancestor. I think for the points and what it does, 8 wounds with a 3-up save is, it's a little bit out there for monsters still. Strength 7 base. I just wish you could still take 3. I ran that to 1 tournament. It was so much fun.
Yeah, I think paired weapons, and then I think paired weapons is almost a must. But then saying that,
Tim, I think for how cheap, great weapons, how cheap the base model is, just the hand weapon works, in my opinion.
I think the only reason I ran paired weapons was just to get the extra attack and ignore parry. For the points, I just thought it was just an absolute steal. But like you say, it's personal preference, isn't it? I think. But what about
just yourself? Don't let Clusey roll the dice. After our last
time. We were going to invite him on, but then you stuffed him. So.
No, he had the most unlucky dice. He charged my Colossus with an Elder with a great weapon. And we did nothing the first turn. Then I killed it the next turn. Then he charged it with a second one. And we both were left on 1 wound. So, yeah, I'm unlucky that one. His dice just left him behind. Boo hiss to the dice. What about you, Eddie? You got a favourite monster in there? Is there something that jumps at you?
I mean, I think both of my choices would be background related, and that's either the Ancestor, because I really like the flavour of it. I really like the idea of something that is mechanically as well as in the background derived from dragons and still has those sort of vestigial elements. So being able to summon up a breath weapon but taking a damage for it, it might not be the most amazing mechanical trade-off, but it's a nice touch to include in there. But then also, I think the Hellmaw, as obviously it's a very unique monster. It offers a very different take on the army. So once you put it in there, you're playing a very different game. And that might end up being a negative game, but it's still very cool. So gives warriors something very unique.
Yeah, I think my pick, and I think this is another strength of the book with its variety that you've got, is you've got these really tanky warriors, and then you've got the Forsaken one, and Wretched ones, obviously. I know they're not a monster, but I still think they're amazing. I've got, when I was building my list, they were one of the first things that went in. And I remember looking at the Forsaken one when the actual unit was first designed. I don't know if you remember this, Tony, but Mark Borland took one, and we thought it was just utter crap. We couldn't work out what the point of this monster was. And then you suddenly realize it attacks all the time with effectively a Thunderstomp at strength 6 against everything.
You're unlikely to kill it in one round, aren't you? So you go in, you know, it will survive even if you swamp it, you know, it then survives on 1 or 2 wounds. So you know you're going to get hit with everything again the next round. So it's not like you can run through it and use your agility to, yeah.
It's the benefit of the 3d6 random move. It's just, it zones fantastically. And then when you combo charge it with something, so I was using it with Chosen Knights or Wretched Ones or something, usually it came barreling in at the side. But quite often he'd go in rampage and run the unit down. It was brilliant. I still can't see past the Forsaken one in one of my lists. I'm a bit, I suppose if you need to build a power list, you should really take 2. But
I mean, when you're talking about things that you didn't see the value of, and then you play against it and think, oh wow, Veilwalker was one that I was a little bit late to, because it's quite expensive as an upgrade, and you're thinking, well, really, is it still like 100 points? I think it is.
Yeah, but I think,
and you think 100 points for that, and you're using Veil tokens, but you know, for that extra range, or re-rolling their armor saves, or you re-rolling to wound, it just adds stuff, you know. And especially because you may find that your sorcerer's kind of restricted with movement if he's in a block. Being able to just have that extra 6 inches reach.
6 inches is quite a lot in a tank.
Not bad. It's not bad.
I was going to say, mate, because obviously...
That'll be why his screen's off, is it? Okay.
But in all seriousness, on the Veilwalker point, I think, especially with a couple of the changes recently, it's got so much better, especially even with Alchemy. The Bolt Thrower being able to reroll to wound for its casting value against blocks is actually really good now, because you can easily strip 4 or 5 models off with the Bolt Thrower alone, even into blocks. You don't really think, oh, reroll to wound on that. People let it go a lot of the time. And obviously, if you are running the Flaming Banner trick, as we'll get onto in a bit, the extra range for that is also really useful.
I was going to say, do you want to focus a little bit on the magic? Because I do think that is one of the strengths of the book. I think the access to the laws that they had, laws or paths?
Paths of magic.
Paths of magic. The access to the paths of magic they have, I think, really aids the book. There's one path that I wish they would have access to, but I understand why they don't, is Pyro.
Pyro!
We'll come on to that in the weaknesses. But I think the strengths of the book, where you've got alchemy, occultism, and Evo primarily, and then you've got access to others as well. I think it's really strong.
My thing on the strength is that you can obviously run it in multiple ways as well. You can go Exalted Herald and a support caster.
Mm.
310 points, I think it is, for the Evo guy with Rod of Battle and an extra spell. That is all the magic some warrior armies need. And for 310 points, it's nuts that you can bring all that to the table.
Yeah, a single Exalted Herald with the ability to bring Veilwalker and then run Occultism. It's not a sophisticated magic phase. It's a sledgehammer, but you bring two sledgehammers and you basically offer your opponent, do you want me to cast Hellfire on you, or do you want me to cast a boosted Grave Calls on you? One way or another, something expensive is probably going to die.
Or reroll to Ruined Wrath of God.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. I generally went for the more reliable spells just because I didn't ever need Wrath of God. But it's always there as an option. The flexibility that a Herald brings is obviously quite a unique strength of the book.
Yeah, I mean, just to kind of reinforce that, I ran an Evo Master with Veilwalker and the Hereditary spell. So I had five spells. And that was more than enough. But what I found with the Warriors, and we kind of emphasized hit this on the head earlier, was most of the combats, I didn't need to buff them. Quite often when you're fighting a combat, you're kind of like, okay, you might need to buff them in order for them to fight. But what I found with Warriors was when I buffed them, they just then started tearing through stuff even more. So you're kind of doubling down it's not essential, shall we say. Rerolls to hit, rerolls to wound isn't always essential on a Warriors list, in the same way that it would where I'm playing VC, for example, where magic is paramount. Your average skeleton can't do crap without magic, whereas a Warrior can quite happily bat crap out of something with his great weapon without much support. But I definitely think magic is a strength of the book.
Let's not forget, Tanker, you were bringing up alchemy as well. Obviously, it's that combination of Flaming Banners or the Western Torch.
Too much to save infantry. How often did you cast the armor spell, Tank? Did you ever take the armor spell?
I cast it a lot more in lists where I have chosen knights over warrior knights. I'd say that.
How many times have you five diced that armor spell against me?
A lot. if you are running the big warrior block, the five dice armor spell, especially if it's only an adept, it can be game winning with one up or two up save, and that warrior block is nuts.
Yeah, so. Two up save with a great weapon. And res 4. That's the thing, isn't it? The strength. It's just the innate strength of the unit buffed with that spell. Just they don't need it, but if they do get it, it makes them really good.
You say a great weapon, but again, switching on the Flaming Banner and then having a flammable opponent. It brings in that consistency, and that's from using the attribute. You then get the spell for free, don't you?
Let's talk about that, because like you said, there was Matt Pell's running this list, and a few others were doing it as well, weren't they? Where you could take multiple Flaming Banners and the Wasteland Torch, wasn't it?
Mm.
Yep. Yeah, you can get four, and then you've obviously got Glory Gold spell as well. So,
And Burning Portent available if you want it.
Actually, it moves us on quite nicely to magic items. I think they got some of the best items in the game as well. I mean, Burning Portent, I think, is in a really strong place now since they lowered the age of saves of Flaming Wards to a max of 3+.
Yeah, and you definitely saw a lot more of it at this year's ETC than previous as well.
Plus, you have the magic item that gives you the option to have divine attacks as well. So suddenly a flaming save is not the... It's not the defense that it once was.
No, not when it's doing... Is it still D3 wounds, isn't it, as a sword?
Yeah.
And I think, again, the strength of the book, characters, base attacks 5.
Yeah, strength 5. I mean, that was kind of
brutal.
The weakest point, and it was strength 5. So you've got to be against something pretty tanky to not. And like Ed was saying, if you combine that with an alchemy mage to give your opponent flammable, so you can get that reroll, even if you're fighting, you know, a monster that's res 6.
It is worth noting that Lord is 600 points, though, with the one-up reroll and the one-up reroll and the burning portent. So he is a chunk. Don't get me wrong, I think he is great, but you've got to then help the list. You've got to help him get into those situations you need. So it does kind of force your hand a little bit of how you build the list a lot of the time.
And then you're just desperately thinking, no, don't be infernal dwarfs.
Yeah, it's interesting. So what do we think, focusing then finally on the kind of starting to wrap the show up, what do you think are the best kind of matchups for Warriors at the moment? Do they have games where you go in and you think this should be good?
I would think things like Saurians are probably must be good matchups for them, where you have infantry that need a lot of support before they can stand toe-to-toe with any of your units. So you start from a plus point. And anything where the core units are not overly mobile, so you're not necessarily suffering from being outmaneuvered.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Saurians are definitely good. Depending on how you're running your list, some KOE lists can be very good for Warriors, especially if you are running Alchemy. They don't have enough bodies, even with Druidism, to take the damage off fair end a lot of the time. And some generally combat armies that aren't as high agility as them. I've never had a massive problem with Ogres or Orcs with Warriors, as long as they don't have crazy spikes from one side or the other.
Yeah, stuff that's going to fight you is what you want, because you should beat them.
So, finally, Dave, what kind of like your favourite units in the book then? Let's start with you, Ed. What do you think? Sorry, not the favourite, but what do you think are the strongest units in the book at the moment? We'll do favourites when we come to the fluffy side of things.
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's so hard to look past Chosen Knights. They're almost a kind of meme, really, where they just do it all. You know, they're fast, they're strong, they're tough, they're difficult to shift. They do a ton of output in combat. I know that over time people have complained about the Karkadans not being strong enough, for example, but overall, as a unit, they seem to have been in a very strong place, and I don't know if that has changed at all recently.
What about yourself, Tanker? What do you think?
So, mine's twofold. So, Warrior Knights and Wretched Ones, both the Ws, for different reasons, but similar at the same time. The Wretched Ones obviously are unbreakable, which I think a lot of players just don't know how to play into well at all anymore, because obviously it used to be a lot bigger thing in 8th in previous editions. So I do think there's an element of a lot of players not knowing you've got to go in, you've got to hit them hard, they're going to hold, so you've got to think a turn or two in advance, which I think is a little bit lacking sometimes in some players. And then Warrior Knights, kind of the same thing, especially as I love running them with Pride and Flaming Banners. They just do a lot more than they should for their points. They're very hard to kill as well with the one-up save. There's a lot of situations where you know you're going to lose by 3-4 and your opponent can't reliably go in knowing they're only going to win by 3-4 knowing that you'll hold on average.
Mm. And then it's the counter charge, isn't it, after that? You pin them and then straight in with your mobile stuff.
Or just the grind afterwards if they need to charge to beat stuff as well. If your opponent needs to charge them to beat them, but they're only winning by 3-4, you're holding more often than not.
Mm. What about yourself, Tony? What do you reckon?
Okay. I was going to say, you go first. Go on. What's yours? You've gone last on all the others.
Yeah, I think two of the units I was going to highlight were Knights and the Chosen Knights and the Wretched Ones, because both of those went straight in my list when I was writing the book. I mean, when I was playing them, the Elders were really strong, but the points kind of balanced that out a little bit. But I still think the Ancestor's really good for its points as well. I think the threat that brings to the table in the right matchup, sometimes it's just neutered. But sometimes when it goes off on one and you can combo charge it and say you're just touching corner to corner with something and you've got that much damage output for that many points, I think it's brutal. But the epitome of the Warriors of the Dark Gods book, just pure unadulterated smash face. I like it.
Well, you see that. I think the epitome of the Warriors Dark Gods book is Warriors in core. I think, you know, there's better units in special, etc., but it's the fact that they are your core troops. So you've got the option of going cheaper with barbarians if you want bodies, but I always find, apart from maybe a cheeky scoring unit, my points go into that, you know, one, two, or three core blocks, depending on how you mix it up and what, you know, whether you give them a mark or whatever. And then the other thing I was just going to touch on, I was going to mention it earlier, is I used to love the old Wasteland Torch on Chosen Knights. Just because it gives you Ruins Walker and you get to take Ruins Strider, even. And, you know, you get to burn one of the forests or fields. So, you know, I'd always end up desperately looking for Ruins to run them through at that point. But then if you can team it up with the Alchemy as well, for that flaming in the first round, then they can really have a stunning first round after they've run through their ruins. And for 30 points, well, 30 points for the torch, and then obviously a unit are chosen. But and an alchemy mage. Yeah, it does start to add up, actually. But you can't really have a warrior's army without those core warriors.
So where would you put the Warriors book kind of in the midst with all the other armies at the moment? Do we still think they're like real top tier? Do we think they're in the middle? Do we think they're at the bottom? What do we think?
So it's tricky with a teams versus singles approach, I guess, but I still think they're definitely top third or so, I would put them. I think that's a solid reasoning area. They're still going to get you, especially if you want to play ultra aggressive with them, they're still going to get you two or three big wins in an event, which is often enough, even with a big loss and a draw, to get a decent finish as well.
You've just hit something there that I was going to mention actually earlier on, which I think Warriors have got this ability to go out and get points, which I think is huge in a singles environment. I did find that when you're playing with Warriors, you can win really big. But then as we'll come on to the weaknesses, you can also lose pretty big. They can be very swingy. But what about yourself, Ed? Where do you think they kind of come around in the strength scale, as it were?
I think in the end, quite a lot of what you would call the army strength scale comes down to reliability. You will tend to see the reliable armies high up there because they play to your game plan more often than not. You can build a good list with any book, but having an army that will enact your plan and not fall to bits at some point or fail in some key important point. And that's where I think Warriors continue to rack up high, because they don't run away. They don't. You don't have a bad magic phase and fail to get all your buffs off, so you're completely stranded in combat. They do what they do. They do it reliably. They do it well. So you'll always see them somewhere up near the top of a tournament ranking.
I think just to add to that as well, something else I wanted to mention, which I think is one of their real strengths, is they're very easy to play. And by that, what I mean by, like you've mentioned there, Ed, that they're quite reliable. They don't run away, etc. They're all very good at fighting. What I find with armies like the VC, Undying Dynasties, etc., even Demons, where they've got this ability to stick around, they're fearless, etc., is a big strength. But also, the books have inherent weaknesses, a bit like the Vermin Swarm book. Very strong if you know what you're doing with it. But a rookie picking up any of those armies, well, VC, I can speak from experience. A rookie picking up a VC army, that goes sideways very quickly, quite often. Whereas, okay, I've got experience playing 9th for, well, and 8th and 7th and blah, blah, blah for years. I picked up Warriors and knew exactly what to do with them. And I just found it was like playing on easy mode. You just didn't really have to think too much. You just pointed them at a direction.
And quite I don't often, think you mean that they're easy they and you'll always easy. Win. I think you mean they're easy because you know how you're going to play them.
I think they're a very forgiving army, is what I mean by easy mode. I think you can... There are some mistakes you can't get away with, but they are very forgiving for a new player. You don't have to think as much. Because even if you get yourself into a bit of a sticky position and you're fighting in a combat, their high resilience and their armor save can get you out of a pickle. But that's just my thoughts. I mean, what does other people think? Well, Tony, go on, have a say, mate. What do you reckon? Do you think they're an easy army to pick up?
Like I say, easy to pick up doesn't translate to winning, but playing in an aggressive style, I used to like it because, when in doubt, you know, charge, play aggressively, which is probably why I generally, you know, didn't end well at tournaments, but always had a good time. Like you say, the harder armies are the ones with the bubbles where you have to have everything in exactly the right place, etc., etc., which can be more of a struggle. I liked Warriors. Well, again, reliability, robustness. Didn't translate to winning tournaments, and they don't win tournaments every week. So I don't think saying easy is the thing, but I do think they're a good army. I think they're upper half. I don't think they're the top, and I don't think, you know, but they're certainly, you know, there's very few matchups where they're terrible.
I mean, from my side, I think as an army goes, they're definitely one of my top three. Okay, maybe at the moment, the scene with Sylvan Elves being as they are might be a bit problematic, but I definitely think Warriors have got that potential of, if you're a good player, you know what you're doing with them. Well, Tanker, that's right, you're here. I mean, you won, was it, you got 400 points last year, so four tournament wins. Were they all with Warriors?
I don't know. I'm guessing yes.
I love at least two with that.
Definitely two to three of them were.
Yeah. And I think they've just got that ability of going to a singles event in particular. And if they get on a good run, most events you need a good run of matchups, but I do think Warriors, again, are a bit forgiving in that respect. You can just go out and get some big wins. I know Matt Pelton's doing well. Same kind
I'd
of
I'd say thing. One of the weird strengths of Warriors is that unless it's a horrible, horrible matchup, they're actually quite hard to lose big with as well. You can have games where you sit off, jump in some cover, your opponent doesn't want to walk across the border at Warrior Army often. They don't really take much damage from range if the opponent doesn't have the magic set up to do it. There are a lot of games where you can grind out eights even in just by sitting there if you need to.
And this is the thing, I think, because they're so dynamic, so mobile, so resilient, they also find it relatively easy to contest the objectives in every... They're always looking to go breakthrough or hold the centre or secure target. You know, they're not the kind of army that just sits in the corner. By being proactive, I think the objective game works to their favour as well.
Yeah, I would like to see, I'm sure there's some analysis somewhere on the amount of objective wins by army, because I would presume Warriors would be quite high up there, as you say.
Anything else you want to kind of say on the strengths of the book before we focus on the weaknesses? No? Thanks, guys, for coming on, and we'll catch you again later.
Cheers, everyone.
Thanks very much.